Hey guys, welcome to Sunday Nights at Refuge, a community-focused Bible study that gathers weekly in our Common Ground Cafe. So grab a cup of coffee or tea and your Bible. By the way, you can connect with us on Instagram at Refuge Family. Now, our prayer is that Jesus would use this message to draw you closer to Him. So if you're ready, let's join tonight's study.
Well, we are going to be just taking time and just reflecting on the Passion Week. Just what I wanted tonight to be was more of just a time to just reflect on that whole, like the events leading up to Easter, the night, the Good Friday night, and kind of the time in between. Eventually, we're going to be going through John chapter 20, so you can go ahead and turn there. But we won't get to there for just a bit. But before we start all that, let's just open up with a word of prayer. God, we thank you. God, we're just so incredibly grateful. I don't even know if, I'm more than grateful, God. Words can't express how much. It blows my mind, Jesus, that you would rather die than to spend eternity without me, without us. It's absolutely baffling, God, that you came down as a baby and that you walked around on this planet and you were killed by those that you created. That before I was even born, you loved me so much. You loved all of us so much. You hung on a cross for us. You were killed for us. You died the death that should have been mine. And then you rose again. Thank you. I wish there was a word great enough to express how thankful we are. So I prayed, be here tonight, Father. Fill this place, Holy Spirit. Speak to each one of us as we reflect on all that you did for us, all that you're doing, God, and all that you will do. We love you so much, Father. Be with us tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. So I just want to take this time tonight and just reflect. Reflect on the whole redemption story. So last week is probably a good place to start. You know, Palm Sunday, where Jesus rides in, and he rides in on a donkey. Now, a donkey was a symbol of peace. In fact, back in the ancient time, if a king was to ride in on a horse, that would be saying, I have come, I have conquered, and I am ruling and I am reigning. But if a king was to come on a donkey to parade through the streets, he's saying, I'm coming in peace. And so as Jesus has his disciples and he has them go pick up a colt, and as he's walking through the streets, there's people in the crowd and they're breaking off palm branches and they're saying, Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. The king is here. He's going to liberate us. He's going to free us. Rome will no longer be in control. Hosanna, Hosanna. And people are ecstatic. They're elated. You can imagine, and I want you guys kind of during this time as I'm talking, I want you just to meditate and just to imagine this whole week. And like imagine yourself in the crowd seeing this this man who's riding on a donkey and all of these people screaming, Hosanna, he's here, the Messiah is here. And Jesus is walking through regally. He's riding through regally. And you can feel the excitement in the air and in the atmospheres. Jesus is riding through this. People are ecstatic. And the disciples must have been ecstatic too. They go, yes, it's finally happening. Jesus is finally going to take control. He's finally going to take Israel and put them on the map and make them no longer subject to the Roman Empire. It's finally happening, and we are going to rule and reign with our Lord and our friend. And maybe John, maybe Peter, maybe James, they're still arguing, hey, so who's going to be on his right side or who's going to be on his left side? And all while this is going on, Jesus is there and he's meditating and he's pondering and he's going, okay, this is it. This week is coming. And he told his disciples, he said, hey, we are going, like, I will be betrayed. I will be killed. And I'll be buried and I'll raise again in 3 days. He told them all this, but no one's really thinking that. And his closest friends, they're there with him and they're cheering him on. Yes, holy, holy, holy. Hosanna, Hosanna. And as the days go on, you have the... I'm imagining the time that Friday when Jesus is there in the upper room with his disciples. And he's there in the upper room with his disciples. And, well, actually, he's not even there yet, right? Because he still washes his disciples' feet. They're arguing and they're saying who's going to be the greatest. And as they're walking inside, Jesus takes off his outer garment and he puts on a washcloth and he grabs a basin. And he washes his disciples' feet. And you can imagine his close friends going, Jesus, what are you doing? We just said Hosanna. We just have praised you, and you're going to be our king. And Jesus goes, no, this is how you lead. You lead by serving. You lead by washing your feet. And Peter goes, no, may it not be so, Lord. That's so beneath you. No, please don't wash my feet. And Jesus says, you know, if I can't wash your feet, Peter, then you have no business with me. And Peter goes, oh, wait. No, not just my feet, my head, my whole body. No, I'm all in, Jesus. And I can imagine Jesus going, no, I just need to wash your feet. And they go up into the upper room, and Jesus is there, and he's like, what I love so much about the Gospel of John is that all of that time is recorded. That Jesus talks at length. This is kind of his last time to give. Like, this is the summation of all of his ministry. And he's talking with his disciples about this time. And he's saying, hey, this is how you lead. You lead as a servant. And if you want to be the greatest, you have to be the least. And I can imagine John, as the Apostle John puts his head on Jesus' shoulder, and he's just listening to his best friend. He's listening to Jesus as he's talking about this, and they're having communion, they're breaking bread. And Jesus talks and he says, this is my body broken for you. This is my blood poured out for you. And he says, this is the last time that I'm going to have communion with you until I come back again. And I'm sure the disciples are pondering and they're wondering and they're going, okay, what's going on here? What does he mean the last time? Well, maybe the last time before he takes over Rome, maybe that's what that's about. And I'm sure they're questioning. And, you know, I've always, he's saying, hey, one of you here, you're going to betray me. And you can see all the disciples go, oh, is it me, Lord? Is it me, Lord? And Peter goes, is it me? Am I going to betray you? And, you know, I can imagine, like, maybe Judas Iscariot wasn't there. Maybe he had just rushed in. He said, and Jesus says, you know, the one who takes the bread and dips it in the bowl the same time that I do, that's the one who's going to betray me. And as Jesus takes his bread and dips it in, and Judas does it at the same time, Jesus looks Judas in the eye and goes, go do what you need to do. And it's recorded in the gospel that that the disciples didn't quite understand. They go, oh, well, maybe Jesus is having money put aside. Maybe he's like, because Judas was in charge of the money. And so they didn't quite understand. And Jesus says, man, it would be better if that man was never born. Not because he was angry with them, but because he was sad. Jesus spent 3 years of his ministry with Judas Iscariot. Jesus knew Judas so well. He knew him as well as Peter, James, and John. And so Judas leaves, and Jesus talks with his disciples for a little bit. And he gets up, and they walk to the Garden of Gethsemane, where Jesus goes up on the Mount of Olives. And he begins to pray. And he takes James, John, and Peter, and he says, hey, you know, you can come a little closer and just stay here and, you know, just keep watch. And so Jesus, he goes and he prays. And he prays for an hour. And it's during this time that Jesus, you know, it's really interesting because Jesus says, you know, thank you, Father, so much for giving me these people. I've fulfilled everything that you've told me to do. And I haven't lost a single one that you've given me aside from Judas. And he comes back, and James, John, and Peter, they're asleep. He goes, guys, can't you just stay with me for an hour here? And then Jesus goes back, and he prays again. And I can imagine Jesus, because he was fully man, he knows what's going to happen. He knows that at any minute now, Judas is going to come with Roman soldiers and with the Pharisees, and they're going to take him. And it says that Jesus was so distraught that he starts sweating blood. Like, what incredible anxiety. He doesn't know what to do. He says, God, if there be any way at all that you can take this cup from me, but not my will, but your will. And Jesus doing this, Jesus is often called the second Adam. Where the first Adam chose his own desires, chose his wife over God, chose what he wanted to do over God. Jesus chooses God over what he wants to do. He says, not my will, but your will be done. And he finishes praying and he gets up and his disciples are still asleep. And he says, wake up, for the time's at hand. And Judas Iscariot comes up and he says, Rabbi. And he kisses Jesus on the cheek. Because he told the Romans that the one that I kiss on the cheek, that's Jesus. And so you can imagine Peter, James, and John seeing this, and Jesus looks at Judas, and Judas looks at Jesus, and they both know what's happening. And then you can see the Roman soldiers going like, "Are you Jesus?" And he says, "I am." And everyone falls to the ground because the creator of the universe just spoke his name. And they get back up and they go to arrest Jesus. And Peter's freaking out, right? He grabs a sword. He cuts off someone's ear. And Jesus says, "What are you doing? My kingdom's not of flesh and blood. And don't you know that if I wanted to, I could have a whole legion of angels come right now?" And he grabs the guy's ear, puts it on his head, and it's healed. And it says that all of the disciples fled. They all ran away. So you see Judas, who actively betrayed Jesus. And then you see all of Jesus' friends run away. And Jesus is alone, literally being led to his death. And so John records that he was able to get in where Jesus was being trialed falsely. And he's able to sneak Peter in as well. And so Peter and John are like keeping warm by the fire. And, you know, earlier Jesus even said, he said, "Hey, all of you guys will betray me. You'll all run away." And Peter says, "No, not me, Lord. No, I mean, everyone else might leave you, but I won't leave you." And Jesus says, "Peter, don't you know that before the rooster crows three times this morning, you will betray me?" And it's right at this time when Jesus is being falsely tried that there's people that recognize Peter and they go, "Hey, Peter, aren't you?" Or they don't know he's Peter, but they say, "Hey, aren't you one of the disciples?" And Peter says, "No, it's not me. It's not me." And there's a little girl and she says, "No, you are one of the disciples." And he's like, no, it's not me." And someone says, "No, I can hear your accent. You're Galilean." And Peter goes, "No, absolutely not." And, you know, because he's a sailor, some of those words come out. Or because he's a fisherman, some of those words come out. And then I can imagine, like, as he's saying that, he hears the rooster crow. And it says that Jesus looked at Peter right when the rooster crowed. And Peter's heart breaks. He realizes what happened. And he runs away crying. And so you see Judas and you see Peter, and they both have denied Christ. And so Jesus is led from the Sanhedrin. He goes to Herod, and then from that point, then he goes on to Pilate. And Pilate sees this, and he sees this man that, you know, is like, he's not quite sure. And like, literally the same people that were screaming, "Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna," end up saying, "Crucify him." Like, we're only talking 5 days difference here. Pilate goes, "No, like, don't you want me to let him go here?" And he literally picks a murderer. And says, do you want to let this guy go free, or do you want me to let go of Barabbas?" And they say, "No, give us Barabbas, give us Barabbas." And they literally choose a murderer over a man who's done nothing wrong. And Pilate says, "What do I do?" And they say, "Crucify him." And so Jesus is stripped of his clothes, and they put on these like these kingly robes, and those are the robes that the Roman soldiers whip him in and beat him in. You know, they they put a bag over his head and they punch him and they say, "Prophesy to us. Tell us which one of us hit you." And they pull out his beard, and Jesus the whole time is silent. And they whip his back 39 times, and cat of nine tails have bits of broken glass and bone and stones, and just splay his back open. And after that's all that's happening, like, physically. Let alone how much must have been happening spiritually. Like, Satan goes, this is it. Like, I've got him. I'm going to kill the Savior. And so, at all of this, Jesus is silent. Jesus is quiet. And after they're done, after the soldiers are done, they put his robes back on, or they take off the kingly robes and just put his regular clothes on, and they give him this cross to carry the whole way up. They make a crown of thorns and they put it on his head, and he's bleeding from his head. And as Jesus is carrying this cross, he physically can't do it. Can you imagine having this huge piece of wood that you're literally going to die on, and you're carrying it to the place where you're going to die, and your back is splayed open and you're exhausted, and he can't do it? And so they grab Simon the Cyrene, and Simon's carrying the cross up with him. And so they take Jesus. They put nails in his hands. They put nails in his feet. And he's up there. And the people are still jeering at him. They're still mocking him, saying, take yourself off. If you can save others, why can't you save yourself? And if you were here Friday afternoon, Bill or Pastor Bill was talking about all the events that happened on Golgotha. And I imagined, as Pastor Bill was talking, I imagined being John, the apostle, who was there at the feet of Jesus, where they crucified his best friend, where they're killing his Lord. And can you imagine the one that you thought was going to save you is up there, and he's dying on a cross, and there's nothing you can do. And so Jesus being Jesus, looks at his mom and sees John and says, hey, woman, behold your son. And son, behold your mom. Behold your mother. And he's making arrangements for his mom in his last breath. And so Jesus dies. And they're pulling Jesus off the cross. And I can you imagine being there? Can you imagine being John, who's pulling his best friend off the cross, and he's wrapping his friend up and lays him in a tomb? And they got to do it quick. There's not even really enough time to mourn, and they put him quickly in the tomb because they don't want to miss the Sabbath. And there's a period between Friday evening to Saturday evening where there's a pause. And can you imagine being every single one of the disciples as they are going, what is going on? What's happening here? Being Peter, who maybe he was staring out at the water going, oh my gosh. I betrayed him. Being Judas, who doesn't know what to do. Being John, who's trying to wrap his brain around stuff. Thomas, who's just completely given up hope. And maybe they even went back into the upper room. In fact, we know that. But maybe they went back up into that upper room, and maybe the plates that were still there, like, were there from, like, maybe the same plates that Jesus had used and that everyone had used were still right there, and they're walking back and they're going, what do we do now? What do we do now? And you know the story. That's why there's Easter sunrise service. Mary Magdalene, Joanna, and Mary, the mother of Jesus, they're outside the tomb. And they're like, how are we going to get in? And as they go up to the tomb, they see that the stone is rolled away. And they go, oh no. And they run inside, and there's an angel, and he says, but there's an angel, and he says, you know, the one that you're looking for isn't here. He's risen. He's alive. And there's bewilderment, and there's excitement, and there's joy, and you're trying to understand. And Mark, in the Gospel of Mark, it says they run away when they see the angel. And Mary Magdalene, she's sad because she's like, where is my Lord? And as she walks out of the tomb, she looks around, and she sees what she thinks is a gardener. And the man says to her, woman, why are you weeping? Who are you seeking? And she says, sir, if you've carried him away, tell me where you've laid him and I will take him away. And Jesus says, oh, Mary. Mary looks up and she goes, ah, Rabboni, teacher. And so Jesus responds and he says, don't cling to me, for I've not even gotten to my Father yet. But go and tell the disciples. And so we know that Peter and John are running, and that John outruns Peter, and Peter runs inside of the tomb and grabs the cloths that were holding, that Jesus was wrapped up in, and he's holding it, and he goes, what's going on here? And we see in John chapter 20, in verse 19, let's just turn there, because this is where we're at. 1,987 years ago? I just round up to 2,000, but this is where we're at, 2,000 years ago, this time tonight. John chapter 20, verse 19. As all of the disciples are in the same upper room that they were in just a couple of days ago, all the doors are shut. Verse 19, it says, then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for the fear of the Jews, Jesus came in and stood in their midst and said, peace. Peace be with you. The first thing that Jesus says to his followers, to his friends, to his disciples, he says, peace be with you. Now, when Jesus had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. And Jesus said to them, peace to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you. And when he said this, he breathed on them, and he said, receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained. And so Jesus, when he reveals himself to his disciples, he says three things. And these are the three things that we're going to focus on tonight. Firstly, peace. Peace be with you. Are you stressed out? Do you have anxiety? Are you afraid? Do you not know what's going to happen next? Peace. Peace be with you. So Jesus is calling his disciples to peace. He's calling us to peace. Secondly, we are called. Jesus says, as the Father has sent me, I send you. So we have a responsibility. Our God died for us. Our God rose from the dead for us. Our God took our sins, carried them on his back, and died the death that we deserve so that we can be with him forever. There is nothing that separates us from the love of God. When Adam talked to God in the cool of the morning, and that relationship has been restored with Jesus. One, peace be with you. Two, as the Father has sent Jesus, so he sends us. We have a responsibility, no, a joy, to tell people about our God, our friend, our Lord. And thirdly, receive the Holy Spirit. And this is when Jesus breathes on them when he says this. The same way when God breathed his Spirit into Adam, and Adam became a living soul, so Jesus breathes on them, filling them with the Spirit. The same Spirit that God connects to us with. It says that God is a Spirit, and those that commune with him in spirit and in truth. And so that link that was broken when we died, or when we were dead in our sins, when the Holy Spirit fills us, we are able to commune with the Father once again. And so you're not alone. God is with you. One, peace be with you. Two, go and tell people this joy. Where God has placed you in your family, in your work, or just in your day-to-day tasks. You're there for a specific reason. You're there to show the love of Jesus. Keep your eyes open. Look around. These years have been tough. These years have been hard. And people are now more open to the gospel than they've been in decades. Verse 23 says that if you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they're retained. By telling people about Jesus, they have the ability to have their sins be forgiven. You've seen it in your own life when you've given your sins to God, when you've given those things that control you to God, and you've changed. In fact, it hasn't even been out of your own strength, but there are things thinking back like, oh yeah, that's right. I don't deal with that anymore. I don't struggle with that anymore. And we're constantly being renewed in the Spirit of God. We're constantly becoming more like him. Because he that's begun a good work is faithful and just to complete it. And so if we are living with God, and we are fellowshipping with God, and we are trying to get to know him more and more, then we'll be transformed into the likeness of Christ. And so much like your sins were forgiven you, you have the ability to tell others about Jesus, and their sins can be forgiven. In fact, it was because of someone telling you about Jesus that you're here right now. And you have the honor and responsibility to tell other people so that they can be forever in the family of God. I absolutely love that Jesus didn't waste any time. He died, he was buried, he resurrected, he went to the Father, and he came back and he told his disciples, hey, don't be afraid. Go and tell others about me. Go tell them that I'm here. Look at the holes that are in my hand, that are in my side. It was Pastor Chuck that said that Jesus might be the only handicapped person in heaven, the only person that'll have flaws. And because those are the signs that show what he did for us. So don't be afraid. Go and tell others and receive the Holy Spirit. God is with all of us here tonight. He's with you every single moment of the day. Pray to him continuously. You know, So looking back at Judas, who was so grieved by what he did that he went and he ended his life. And you see Peter, who was so grieved by what he did that when Jesus says, "Hey, do you love me, Peter?" He says, you know, I love you. Jesus says, "No, do you love me, Peter?" And he's like, "Yeah, I know, I love you." And Jesus says, "Do you love me, Peter?" Peter says, "Yeah, I love you." Jesus reached out to Peter, and Peter was restored because of that. So maybe there's something in your life that you feel, "Oh man, I betrayed Jesus. Oh man, I really messed up this time." No, Jesus is right there if we're to run to him. And so when Jesus, "Thank you so much. Seriously, thank you so much. Thank you for your body that was broken. Thank you for your blood that was spilt. Jesus, God, thank you. Thank you so much. It's because of you that we're here. Jesus, it baffles me that you would have rather died than to have spent eternity without us. You love us so much, God. So much. So God, I pray, speak to every single one of us here as we spend this time in communion, as we pray and as we just reflect. Fill us with your Spirit, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
This has been a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel Huntington Beach. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com or call 714-891-9495.
Set free my heart, set free my soul. I don't want to be a prisoner no more. Unlock the door that holds me in. This is the day that life begins. Set free my heart, set free my soul. I don't want to be a prisoner no more.
No more.
Unlock the door that holds me in. This is the day that life